This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Like most literary genres, fantasy has been historically dominated by white male authors. But in recent years, emerging voices have sought to change that, including our next guest. Rebecca Roanhorse is a fantasy author whose work draws from indigenous cultures and mythology. Her trilogy, Between Earth and Sky, which launched with the acclaimed novel Black Sun, tells the story of ancient civilizations held tentatively together by a treaty that comes under threat with the emergence of someone who claims to be a god. The second installment of that series, titled Fevered Star, is out now. But this year, Rebecca also took a detour from the ancient Americas to focus on the Wild West, or a fantastical version of it, in her new book, Tread of Angels. In the mining town Rebecca has created, society is divided between those descended from righteous angels called the Elect and those descended from angels who followed Lucifer in the battle for heaven called the Fallen. One of those fallen is a singer named Mariel, whose life is in danger after she's accused of murdering an elect man. Her sister Celeste decides to do everything in her power to try to clear Mariel's name, including becoming her advocatus diaboli, basically something like a lawyer. But as Celeste begins to investigate this crime, she starts to wonder whether her sister might be hiding something from her. Joining me now to discuss both Tread of Angels and Fevered Star is Hugo Award-winning author Rebecca Roanhorse. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So we have an upcoming interview with Margaret Wilkerson Sexton, who was a lawyer before she was a novelist. You are a lawyer as well. And in Tread of Angels, it tells the story of someone sort of recruited to become a lawyer for her sister. What from your time in the law has proved helpful in telling the story?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think there's probably bits of law throughout all of my novels. I'm always thinking about jurisdiction and sort of, you know, who has power and when they have power and like what they can do to the marginalized communities that they control. In Tread of Angels, there is some courtroom drama. There was more before my editor was like, this might be a little much. But so I drew sort of from what that looks like, what I know of sort of prosecution and defense and you know, how judges control a courtroom.
You also have a master's degree in theology. What were some of the ways you drew on that knowledge base to write Tread of Angels?
I actually went to Union Theological in New York City. So there's a little New York connection there. I have to admit, I probably did not draw as much on my theology degree as I did on my love of urban fantasy and its sort of take on angels and demons and that sort of thing. But certainly all of my work, I think, draws from my background in theology and religious studies. The nature of God, the nature of faith, all of those things interest me and show up in my work.
In this world you've created, society is divided between the fallen and the elect. How did the society come to be split this way?
Oh, historically in the book or in my mind?
Ooh, I'm going to go in the book.
Fair enough. So I, you know, part of, I'm always interested in sort of this biblical mythology and the idea of Lucifer's rebellion and drawing from Milton as well, I think this sort of pop culture of the time take on what that looks like. And so for me, it made sense that sort of the descendants of angels were the people in control, the elect. And the descendants of the fallen, the people who had rebelled, were the ones that were made to work for them, to sort of be their servants. But also, you know, sort of they have this air of the arts about them. They're entertainers, they're singers. They're certainly maybe the people you might want to hang out with on a Saturday night, but they're not the ones who hold the power.
Celeste is someone who's half fallen, half elect, and she's missing the distinct mark around her eyes that most of the fallen have. So in some ways, she's able to pass, in a way, pass as elect. How does the ability to pass affect elect? And how does she feel about being from two worlds?
Yeah, so this is very much sort of a story told in metaphor, right? About passing and about sort of where your community is and how you belong to it. And Celeste can pass. Her father is elect. Her mother is fallen, but her sister cannot. And so her sister really bears the brunt of the prejudice against the fallen that Celeste does not. She's able to move between the two worlds. She's able to code switch. And so she has some privilege. And now she's in a position to use that privilege to save her sister. And how she goes about doing that is, I think, morally questionable. Mm-hmm. That's certainly the idea behind the story. And I think it begs the question of how far you would go and what would you use that you have, like what tools in your societal position would you use to save the ones that you love?
And we learn that even though Celeste is convinced that her sister, Mariel, would never murder someone, there's a chance she might not be telling the full truth. Why do you think Celeste is unable to see where her sister might be deceitful?
Oh, because I think most of us are unable to see where our loved ones are deceitful. I think often we want to see the best in people, which is admirable, actually. But sometimes I think it blinds us to the truth. And so Celeste is on a journey to sort of see the truth of what's around her, often the things that other people cannot see.
And In Tread of Angels is both a fantasy novel, world building, but there's also a murder mystery. Have you ever written a murder mystery before?
You know, I have not. I have written sort of small mysteries, and I'm attracted to the genre. It's always a lot of fun. The thing about a murder mystery that I love is the inspector, right? And sort of the gathering of clues, the process of getting you to the end. And there's always that moment, if the author has done his or her job, their job, where the reader's like, aha, I know the answer right before the author gives you the answer. And so writing this, you know, sort of using that structure, sort of moving towards that moment of realization, was a lot of fun. It was a little bit of a challenge. I am a world builder. That is my thing. Mm-hmm. I love to create these worlds, but I'm not really a mystery writer. So we'll see.
What's the first step in world building?
Oh, for me, world building comes from character. You have a character, you start to flesh them out. You start to understand what their needs are and what sort of world you need to create to support their journey. So actually, I'm not the kind of person who builds a world and then plops a character in it and then has them, you know, so go through all this stuff. I'm just the opposite. I only build what needs to be built to support the story and the character's journey.
My guest is author Rebecca Roanhorse. We are talking about her novel, Tread of Angels, and we're going to talk about Fevered Star now. Actually, let's talk about the trilogy. Let me pull back a minute. Black Sun was the first book in your Between Earth and Sky series. The second installment this year is Fevered Star. Theirs are fantasy books based on American civilizations pre-Columbus. What is a detail you learned in your research that really helped you shape this world? We just talked about world building. I know it starts with characters, but what was a detail that you found in your research that really helped you write this book?
Oh, God, there were so many. First of all, the food. I had a lot of fun researching food and making sure that it was things that were indigenous to the Americas, that we weren't bringing in wheat or we weren't bringing in, you know, foods that you don't find. But I live in New Mexico, and there are tons of foods, I think, that we sort of take for granted that are indigenous to the Americas, not just corn, but potatoes, tomatoes, avocados, cinnamon, like all these wonderful things. So that was a lot of fun. I think the biggest thing for me was actually the Maritime Maya. The Maya were a culture that sailed, and I think we don't really think about that, but there they are on what is now the Gulf of Mexico, building these ships and creating trade routes that covered all of the Americas. They found things that, you know, stones and shells that originate in what is now Central America. They found those in Michigan. You know, they found them on the coast of what is California. So I think these cultures, pre-Columbian cultures, were much more complex and much more interesting than our history often gives them credit for. And so that was really my favorite part, I think, of doing research for this novel. Series of novels, right? Yes.
Your book, Black Sun, featured some non-binary characters, but the character's gender isn't a point of discussion in the book. How did you want to include and think about gender diversity in the series?
Yeah, so I think for me, my experience is that Indigenous cultures, pre-Columbian cultures, were not as strict about the gender binary. And that certainly, you know, there's variation within the cultures. There were thousands of cultures, but the ones that I'm most familiar with. And so I wanted to capture some of that, this idea that the gender binary is actually a fairly recent sort of invention in the Americas, and that it was just a natural sort of thing to have room for different genders, different expressions of sexuality. And so it was important for me to capture that spirit, to bring it to the book, because that was life. That is life now. So that's the touches of realism, I think, that I bring to fantasy that I want to make sure, you know, that I represent.
So I mentioned, you know, this is a trilogy. And then we began the conversation talking about Tread of Angels. How does that fit into your writing process? You have this one trilogy, and then did you take a break to write Tread of Angels?
I took a little break, okay. Not a lot of a break. You know, the story was inspired by a drive through Leadville, Colorado, which is the highest incorporated city in the lower 48. It sits at over 10,000 feet. It's this little town surrounded by these massive peaks, these snow-capped peaks. And as we were driving through, you know, I was thinking, well, if angels fell to earth, you know, this is where they fall. And my mind is always thinking of like sort of the Americas and centering, you know, sort of that sort of location as opposed to a Europe or a Middle Eastern or anything like that, Asian cultures. So that was sort of the inspiration for the story. And then I took it to my editor and he's like, you know, you have these other books you need to write. And I was like, just a month, just give me a month. I just want to get this idea out of my head. And so he let me do that. So there was a little bit of a detour, but it was a lot of fun. I never thought I'd want to write a Western. But if I was able to write a fantasy Western centered on marginalized people and then throw in a little murder mystery and a little romance as well, then I was up for it.
How did it feel to be writing? I mean, that novel, it's under 200 pages. As opposed to the bigger works. What did it feel like to write a short novel?
Oh, it felt like torture. it was hard. I'm used to doing this sort of massive world building, the epic fantasy. I'm writing the third book in the trilogy right now, and it's going to come in at probably 500, 600 pages. Mm-hmm. This one, like you said, was just 200. So you really have to make smart choices. You really have to sort of streamline your world building and your thinking and narrow down sort of the character arc to the most essential parts. Whereas in epic fantasy, you can be sort of expansive, you know, and you can go on journeys and you can, you know, really have a slow build. But here there's really no time for a slow build. You have to sort of get in, do what you're going to do, and then get out in a satisfying way.
I have to admit, I had Fevered Star and Tread of Angels on my desk, and I had to pick one to read in the week. You know which one I picked.
Absolutely.
I love this piece of information about you, because I think there's somebody out there who needs to hear this. You finished your first novel in your mid-40s. What advice would you give to someone listening right now who just thinks, I got this novel in me, but I got to go to my job as an accountant and then pick up the kids and get the dry cleaning, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, actually, I think my job as a lawyer allowed me to have the time to write the novel because I was so bored. I was not the greatest lawyer. I'm willing to admit that. And, you know, you just never know. I didn't write my first novel thinking of getting it published. I wrote it purely for my own pleasure. I wrote it sort of keep myself sane when I had a small child and a job that I didn't love. And then things sort of just came together the way that they did. So it's never too late. Follow your dreams, follow your imagination, and see what happens.
And when will we get that final installment, the 500 plus pager?
Oh, well, hopefully in 2023, if not late 2023, then certainly early 2024.
My guest has been author Rebecca Roanhorse. Rebecca, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.